Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Dear rejoicing Christians, on this Christmas Eve, do you have a picture of that story in your mind? We've spoken these words a couple times now. I think as we grow up, we have an idea in our minds of what that must have looked like for that to take place. Maybe it was in Sunday school literature or just pictures that we see, or maybe even on posters or wall hangings and things like that. This starry night, right? And then you think of these shepherds, perhaps heavy-eyed after a long day of watching over the flocks, and now they're trying to stay awake to do that at night as well. On this Judean hillside outside the limits of a sleepy little town called Bethlehem. And then all of a sudden, heaven breaks loose. An angel it is, and a message the angel has. And it's not just one angel, but then all of a sudden it says, a great company of the heavenly host appears praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." What a heart-pounding, what a faith-stretching event that took place in the lives of these shepherds. But what about that message? That message that they said, "Glory to God, there's peace on earth." Is there peace on earth? You're realistic. You have the news on from time to time, internationally. The Middle East, where all this took place, Israel and all its surrounding countries still seem to be a tinderbox. They haven't gotten along for 2,000 years since the time this happened. Or how about all other places in the world, like Venezuela and North Korea with all of its saber rattling? Is there peace on earth? How about on the home front? Just recently I read about all the deaths that have taken place by gun violence in places like Chicago and Baltimore, and I'm sure there are other ones as well, and all the horrible carnage that has taken place and the families that are grieving this day because of all of that. And our politicians, they despise each other so much. That's not the definition of peace, is it? How about in the athletic field? We have football players swinging their helmets at other people's heads, and we have drunken fans brawling with each other after sporting events. Now, how about our homes? There's a deterioration taking place in many of our personal relationships and marriages, and there are difficult things taking place in our lives, in our families too. And suicide rates are climbing upward, unfortunately. People aren't even at peace with themselves. And if you try to be non-confrontational with people nowadays, they often think that you're a wimp or that you are some kind of a chicken, so you can't win that way either. So what were the angels talking about? They lost their minds? Peace on earth? If anybody ever struck out on a prediction, it had to be these angels. Oh, it's not that you and I don't want peace. We talk about peace a lot. In fact, I'm sure we would very much agree with these words from former President Franklin Delano Roosevelt when he said, "We seek peace, enduring peace. More than an end to war, we want an end to the beginning of wars. But it never happens." Let's face it, even though we talk a good ball game about peace, you and I are part of the problem. As the old comic strip character Pogo used to say, we have met the enemy, and he is us. But the angels did know what they were talking about. They hadn't lost their minds. They were here to talk about a peace that God had promised to this earth. And they wanted these shepherds to know that peace is possible. As the angel said to Mary, when he said that Mary was going to be having a child and she was a virgin, with God, all things are possible. Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, And that son came to establish a peace that would affect billions of lives over the course of history and would last not just for a few short years that we have on the face of this earth, but would last actually an eternity. This heaven-sent son who came into our earth, our very peaceless earth, came to do this, as the Apostle Paul said. He is our peace. And he made the two one, holy God and sinful human beings, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, and he came and he preached peace to you. So peace is possible by God's grace. We humans fight. We are at odds with each other, and Jesus came into this world and he said, I am not going to fight you. I did not come here to fight. I came here to love you, and I came here to forgive you, and I came here to die for you, and I came here to establish a relationship with God that will never be taken from you. And therefore, you can know that even though you live in a world that is very often has little peace in it, you can walk with all those lightning bolts of violence and people shouting at each other and all the despising that goes on and all the divisiveness that happens. And we can dodge those things because we are hanging on to God's hand. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 139, you hem me in, Lord, behind and before. I know that you are here surrounding me. I found this quote: the peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but the confidence that he is with us always through every trouble, and that one day in heaven we will be free from trouble forever. And that kind of peace, established for us by our gracious God, moves and motivates us to seek to live at peace with others. As people who have been brought by the power of the Holy Spirit into the family of Christ, as believers, we make choices every day. We make choices to be at peace or not to be at peace. It's either peace or hatred, or peace or unkindness, or peace or whatever it is that causes lack of peace. And this is what God says to us: as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. He's saying consciously, intentionally, purposefully, you find a way to be at peace with all of your fellow human beings as best you can in this world. Duke University did a study about what brings peace into people's lives. And they had quite a list, but I chose four of them. But you're going to notice that all of these things on the list have to do with things that I'm doing, not what I'm expecting the other person to do for me or to me, but things that I can do to have peace in my life and therefore in the peace in the lives of others around me. The first is the absence of resentment. Harboring grudges is one of the major causes of unhappiness in our lives. I could ask this question, and I'm sure I would get the right answer right off the bat from all you young people. What's the song in Frozen where they tell us not to hang on to the bad things in our lives, the bad thoughts? Let it go, right? So God wants us to let it go. Just think, if God held a grudge, we would be in deep trouble every day of our lives, but he does not. Secondly, recognize that I can't always control what happens to me in my life, but I can learn to control how I react to the things that happen to me in life. That takes work. That takes choices. But with the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can do that. Thirdly, refuse to indulge in self-pity when handed a raw deal. Every single one of our lives has clouds in it. We all have raw deals. In fact, I don't think my raw deals are rawer than your deals, because I haven't had to deal with them. But it's important for us to know that it happens to you too, not just to me. And then fourth, think first of others. Self-absorbed, self-centered, know-it-all, right all the time people are the ones who have the lowest rating on the happiness scales of life. So once again, God chose to give us peace. He chose to send his son into this world who would establish a peace with God that would never end. And now he's saying to us, his people, I want you to choose peace too. Choose peace in every circumstance and situation that you possibly can. This is what author Thomas Dreyer wrote. All progress is made by people of faith who believe what is right and do what is right in private affairs. You cannot add to the peace and goodwill of this world if you fail to create an atmosphere of harmony and love right where you live and work. Peace starts right here with me. As we live in peace with others, fellow Christians, you and I will affect the lives of others, and perhaps, and we pray this happens, that they will come to know the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate tonight. And as we live in that peace, it's a wonderful way to say thank you to him, that Prince of Peace, who died for us, who lived again for us, that we might live in God's peace eternally. Merry Christmas, blessed Christmas, peaceful Christmas to you all. Amen. Please remain seated as we continue with hymn 61, verse 3, on page 5.